Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Wealthland podcast. Oh, my goodness, I can't talk today. I'm so sorry about that. Yeah, I know. It's kind of weird. I have not been feeling well. I've been sick, so that's probably impacting my cognitive ability and just my speaking well. So I'm so sorry to our audience for, butchering that. So, again, welcome, everyone, to the podcast, the Wealth Blend podcast with Crossshield Financial. Here we mix money wisdom and fresh ideas and bold conversations. Each week we break down hot financial news, expert insights, and real world strategies to help you stay ahead of the financial game. But here's the secret sauce. You do not have to do this all alone because it can be very confusing, can be very overwhelming. Having a financial coach in your corner makes all the difference. And of course, we keep things fun, engaging, and easy to understand with a little help from our quirky mascot. That would be Zoodles, who always keeps us on our toes here at CrossShield. So grab your favorite coffee, settle in, and let's blend the tools, insights, and the coaching support you need to build wealth with confidence and purpose. So today, you know what? It's just me and you, Zoodles. The rest of the team has got other things going on. We're working with clients. We are conducting our group financial coaching courses and also coordinating Financial Peace University. The whole team has been busy today. Yep. And so it's just you and me. We get to kind of go through the Wealth Blend today and covering the topics that are going on in the financial world this week. So I'm going to cover a few things today, but from a purely financial standpoint, I mean, listen, it has been a very, very busy week with news. There's been news all over the place. The last 11 days have been crazy busy, not only in the financial world, but also in our entire nation. And so a lot of great things. But we want to really focus and lean in on today, probably one of the bigger financial news of the week, which was the Federal Reserve not changing the Fed funds borrowing rate. So let me explain a little bit what the Fed funds interest rate is. This is the cost of borrowing that member banks of the Federal Reserve, which if you are a bank, you are a member of the Federal Reserve. The interest rate that they charge to each other for lending money amongst the members is called the Fed funds rate. So this article today is from CBS News, and it is written by Amy Pichi. P-I-C-C-H-I, and this article will be in the links in the description, the description below. So on Wednesday, the Federal Reserve said that it would leave its benchmark interest rate unchanged, hitting the brakes on lowering borrowing costs for individuals and businesses after a flurry of rate cuts starting last fall. So we have had a lot of rate cuts that began last fall. The Fed said it would maintain the federal funds rate at its current range of 4.25 to 4.5%. And then the decision comes after the central bank trimmed rates three times starting in September of 2024. So three rate adjustments within a period of 4 to 5 months is pretty significant. So the rates had actually dropped. They lowered three times. And typically when the Federal Reserve adjusts its interest rates up or down, it typically is going to do that by a quarter of a percent of what the member banks would charge each other for those cost of the money. So the decision really was kind of made on this, I guess you're kind of watching really the impact of inflation, kind of what that looks like. On all of us. So they're expecting longer term inflation expectations appear to remain well anchored. So the inflation doesn't appear to be abating a whole lot. And so they didn't feel like there was a need to lower interest rates again at this point in time. Now, all that being said, we're a very strong economic situation. We've seen the markets respond very positively. We're at the highest levels as far as the market valuation. And so so there's just a lot of, I wouldn't say uncertainty, but there's a lot of belief that there's not really a need to probably lower the interest rates at this point in time because the economy appears to be doing very, very well. So I'll just kind of read the statement that says the Fed's decision to keep rates steady reflects stubborn U.S. inflation, which remains close to 3% on an annual basis. That has fueled concerns that additional rate cuts could reignite price increases, making it more difficult to get to the Fed's 2% target. So that's where the Fed wants to be able to get to, is a 2%, when we're obviously a long ways off from that from the inflation perspective. So inflation is currently at 3%, and the Fed would like to see inflation to be at a 2% level. So what does all that mean for you and for me? So there's a lot of things involved around the Fed rate. One of the biggest areas that is impacted by the Fed rate is the variable interest rate debt products that some of us might have. So for example, credit cards, if we have any type of home equity lines of credit, if we have anything that's got an interest rate that adjusts based on what the federal funds interest rate is, those are impacted. In this case, the interest rates are not going to go down, at least in this particular rate cut. Now, the Fed is going to meet again on May the 7th, and they're going to review all the economic data to determine should they adjust interest rates, should they keep them the same, whatever that looks like. So I know that many of us were expecting or hoping that the Fed funds rate would be reduced so that we would have less interest cost on some of these variable rate debt products. That has not happened. So what do we do about all that? I know this is a little bit probably confusing and don't really feel like it impacts, but it really does impact all of us. We want to get in a position to where, number one, we're not having to pay any interest on, number one, any of our debt at the end of the day, especially our consumer debt, and especially any type of variable rate debt products like credit cards, home equity lines of credit, you know, anything that's going to be able to fluctuate with interest rate adjustments by the Federal Reserve. So let me kind of explain why these interest rates on our credit cards will adjust to the Fed funds rate. So again, Fed funds rate is the cost of borrowing that banks pay to each other for borrowing monies. So banks do borrow monies from each other, and they do that typically overnight to fund their loan products, whatever they need as far as a liquidity perspective. They will go out into the market and they will purchase from each other. And the Fed funds rate is what the rate is they'll charge. So when the rates go down, that means that the cost for the bank is less, and banks will pass that savings along to their customers. And those savings typically happen in these variable rate products. So really, at the end of the day, we want to get ourselves in a position to where when there is an adjustment in the Federal Reserve interest rate and how that affects other debts in the economy, we don't want to be part of that. We want to really get ourselves out of a position to where we're in a consumer borrowing mindset. So how do we do that? So if we are carrying debt around currently, we want to be able to get to a place with our monies, with our budget, to where we are accelerating the payment on those debts. How do we do that? We do that with a tool that we call the debt snowball. And it's really, you can use many different types of tools to get there, spreadsheets and online services and all that to get there. But really, at the end of the day, what the debt snowball is, it's lining up all of your consumer debts from the smallest balance to the largest balance, making minimum payments on all the debts, right? So to make sure that you fulfill your agreement, your promise to pay based on the terms for that particular debt facility. But anything additional that you have in your monthly household budget on top of all of your expenses that you're going to pay plus your minimum payments, we want to take that excess money. We want to apply it to the smallest balance debt first so that we're able to get that debt paid off more quickly than just making that minimum payment. Once that debt is paid off, then you take those monies that you're applying on that debt, the minimum payment plus the additional, you apply those funds to the next largest debt's payment. And you do the same thing for all of your consumer debts. You would be surprised how quickly you are able to get all of your consumer debts paid off. It's absolutely amazing. We work with our clients and actually show them how to do that. We actually show them the timeline of when they become fully consumer debt free. And on average, our clients are able to become fully consumer debt free. This does not include your personal residence, your house, but everything else. Most of our clients on average are to become fully consumer debt free in about 24 months. Yes, Zoodles, that is correct. 24 months. Yeah, he's having a hard time believing that. But we can show you that. We can actually show you on paper how long it'll take you to become consumer debt free. So with that conversation, that pulls you out of this whole debt mentality. It pulls you out of even thinking about, worrying about, considering what happens when the federal funds interest rate adjusts up or down or stays unchanged. So it's a really, really great place to be. Personally for me, I've been debt free for many years, and it is so freeing to not even have to worry about these things or think about, okay, if something changes that's outside of my control, how does that impact me? And just being out of the debt mentality. Another idea that we rarely recommend to clients, and that's the idea of balance transfers, especially on credit cards, to a lower or to a 0% credit card account. There are situations that we might recommend that, but on average, when we do a transfer of those balances, if they're typically not very large, there's not a ton of savings of really being able to justify going through the hassle of creating a new card account and the balance transfers and all that kind of process. So, but there are situations that we would recommend something like that as part of your personalized financial coaching strategy in order to get out of debt more quickly. All right. And then lastly, in this whole idea of, well, if the Fed funds rate changes and my balances change, what else can I do to help me get out of the credit card mindset and get my debts paid off? Well, obviously it's going to be around the budget. So your budget is the roadmap to everything that you are going to do in your financial wealth building strategy. It's what we utilize for all of our clients. We show them how to utilize a healthy budget process. And it's more than just having a spreadsheet. It's more than just putting things in certain places. There is a strategy built within how to utilize that, how to have regular weekly budget committee meetings is what we call them, where you're sitting down with yourself, your accountability partner. If you have a spouse, that's great. But really going through and looking at it, putting the information in and making sure that everything that you're doing within your budget is aligned not only with your goals and values, but it's also helping you get these debts off of your balance sheet quickly. So I've gone on long enough about that aspect of the Fed funds rate and how it impacts the credit card debt and the variable interest rate. So let's talk about how the Fed funds interest rate impacts our emergency funds, impacts our savings. And our savings rates specifically. So again, as we mentioned, the federal funds rate is that cost of borrowing that banks charge each other. And so when that cost of borrowing money amongst the banks either goes up or down, you'll see a, you know, not an immediate, but usually there is a little bit of a lag time when the interest rates that the banks are paying on deposits, that interest rate is going to go up or down. So the savings that a bank may receive on these Fed fund rates, if that interest rate goes down, banks are able then to pass some of that savings to them back to their deposit clients in paying a little bit of a higher interest rate. And conversely, if rates go up on Fed funds, they're going to do just the opposite. They're going to pay a little bit less on those accounts. Now, the question that I get on a regular basis is, does my interest rate on my savings account, does it adjust? Short answer is yes, it does adjust. Typically the only accounts that we see banks have that don't adjust are CDs. So you're locked in with a certain interest rate for a certain period of time. That interest rate does not change. Pretty much on every other account type that is a savings or a limited transaction account that earns interest, the interest rate is going to adjust when the Fed funds rate does adjust. That's not always immediate. There may be a little bit of a lag time, but it will typically adjust accordingly based on that particular bank's threshold and their structures there. So what does that mean for you? So what it means for you is this particular interest rate adjustment, which was no adjustment, still a decision that they made to not change interest, to not reduce the rate, is that your savings account's interest rate more than likely is not going to change. But what we do recommend our clients to start incorporating into their financial plan that we help design for them through financial coaching here at CrossShield is to establish a high yield savings account structure within the financial plan. So all that being said is there's some fantastic banks out there, and we do always recommend this to be a bank situation. And what do we mean by a bank situation? There are a lot of other financial institutions that are out there that are not banks, meaning that they're not chartered by the banking regulations. They also are not insured by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, FDIC insurance, which means that a depositor's balances are insured up to certain numbers. And I believe that if I'm still correct, the number for an individual account is $250,000. And if I'm incorrect, please don't hesitate to make comments and let me know, but I believe that is still correct. We want those deposits to be insured by the full faith and standing of the U.S. government. So all that being said, we want to get into high yield savings accounts because the interest rates on those accounts are much higher than what you're going to find at your typical brick and mortar institution located in your area. Why are these interest rates so much higher with these high yield savings institutions than they would with your local bank? Well, it's very simple. The banks that offer high yield savings accounts typically do not have a lot of overhead, meaning they don't have a lot of brick and mortar that they need to contend with. They don't have a lot of employees, all labor overhead. So they are able to pay higher interest rates to attract people to come and put their money with them. What's the advantage of being a high yield savings institution, a bank that has high yield savings accounts? Well, many times that bank is going to loan money out to people. And so if they can attract deposits, being able to pay higher interest rates, then they have a greater resource of funds to be able to loan to people. So what does that mean for you today with the interest rate, the Fed funds rate not changing? If you can, please get into a high yield savings account with a bank that offers high yield savings. We're seeing interest rates anywhere from 3.5% up to 4.7%. I think we saw today, didn't we? And those are fantastic rates. While rates are not changing, take advantage of the higher interest rates paid on these high yield savings accounts. Now, these accounts, it's a little bit of the difference is many times you're going to have a delay if you need to get funds from your high yield savings account with a bank that's not located close to you, where you can just physically go in and just pull funds out. You may need to wait sometimes 48, 72 hours on those funds being transferred, typically online as an external account. So there's a little bit of a delay there. Anyway, so I've rambled on long enough about that and just wanted to just make sure that as we're looking at the Fed funds rate not changing, let's take advantage of getting some high yield savings account and earning more money on our money. So, okay, I'm gonna go ahead and pass it off to Zoodles and let Zoodles talk about this Fed rate decisions. There are six key ways in this article that is from, let me find this article real quick. Yeah, this article is from Sarah Foster, and all these articles and links will be in the description for you to check out. But this is written by Sarah Foster with Bank Rate, and Sarah goes into six key ways the Federal Reserve impacts your money. We've talked about a couple of these items here in just a little bit. So let me go and get Zoodle set up, and we're going to go ahead and let him talk about this article. So give me just a moment. We'll get him all teed up. All right. Okay. So here's what we got. This article from Sarah Foster talks about six key ways the Federal Reserve impacts your money. So Rudy's already talked about a couple of these. We're just going to hit them in order for us. So again, we talked about the cost of borrowing specifically on these variable rate products, credit cards, home equity lines of credit, which typically has a variable interest rate. Yet many of these products are directly tied to the Federal Reserve rate. So whatever the Fed funds rate is, some of the credit cards, if you look at the terms of your credit card agreement, they are adding like 20 points, 20 percentage points above the federal funds interest rate. So when Rudy talked about the Fed funds rate being 4.25%, the credit card is adding 20% on top of that. Holy crud, that sucks. So anyway, so your borrowing costs can increase. It can also decrease, but we are probably not going to see a whole lot of additional declines in the Fed funds rate for a while. We may see some reductions, but more than likely, it's going to stay fairly close to where it's at. So cost of borrowing goes up and goes down. Okay. So secondly, Rudy did talk about the savings accounts and CDs. They do mimic the Fed, but will fall typically before the Fed cuts the rate. So when there is an announcement coming that the Fed's going to reduce the interest rates on savings accounts and CDs, typically will be adjusted. Now, that doesn't mean if you're in a CD currently that your rate in that CD will adjust. That's not how CDs work. They are fixed for a specific period of time. That does not change. But if you do open up a new one, that interest rate will adjust really quickly. So, okay. So three, with rates still high, it can be harder for borrowers to get approved for new loans. Well, why is that? Well, so one of the reasons higher interest rates slow demand is that they cut off households from the never-ending credit spigot. So as interest rates go up, banks typically will make it just a little bit more challenging to get approved for borrowing because the bank has more cost when they're borrowing money. So they want to have a higher probability or a higher confidence that the money they're borrowing is going to be paid back. So conversely, when interest rates start going down, it's a little bit, I wouldn't say easier, but the banks become a little bit more comfortable in loaning because the cost of borrowing is less. And so there's a higher confidence in people paying the money back. So there you go. Okay. Number four, the Fed's rate decisions influence the stock market, meaning your portfolio or retirement accounts. Interesting. So a change in Fed policy can often cause uncertainty for investors. So stocks, for example, were volatile in the weeks leading up to the Fed's September rate cut back in September, and the key S&P index dropped 4.25% during the first week of the month. So all that being said, when the Fed does make decisions on changing the interest rate, it does have an impact on the market. So in this particular decision that was made of not changing the rate, the market did respond. And the response was not significant, but they were appreciative that inflation was being monitored closely because that does have a direct impact on the effectiveness and what's going on in the market. Okay. Wow, that's a lot. It's going to be in the article, so check it out. And if you have any questions, feel free to reach out. Okay. Rudy's probably better to respond to that for you. So anyway, number five, the Fed has a major influence on your purchasing power. We've already kind of talked about. So as interest rates go up, purchasing power goes down. As interest rates go down, purchasing power goes up. So there you go. And then lastly, six, the Fed influences how secure you feel in your job or how easy it is to find a job. So I thought this was kind of interesting that, you know, it really kind of brought in the job market in the conversation. But I think the big word in this particular section of this article is the feel. There's a lot to be said on consumer confidence and how we're feeling about our economic position and all those things. So the one thing I want to add to this particular item is consumer confidence is, I don't know if it's an all-time high, but it's extremely high right now. We've seen spending increase. I think on specifically consumer debt, we are at the largest levels ever in our history. At I think it's 1.45 trillion dollars in consumer debt. Credit card debt is also at an all-time high. The average American household has about, I think it's $8,600 in credit card debt alone. That's every single household on average across the U.S. That is freaking scary. So all that being said, when we're in a time where we're feeling really good, really confident about the economy, that is the time that we really should take a step back, take a breath. Let's get our financial house in order. Let's get our budget put together right now, because as the economy continues to do well and to grow, we want to be in a position financially to take advantage of that by having that fully funded emergency fund, having all our consumer debt off the balance sheet, so that the money that we have in excess of what we need just to enjoy life every single day, we want to put that into a well-balanced retirement investment account structure so that we can take advantage of the growth that is going to continue to happen for the next couple of years. So, all right, that is what I've got on my part, and I'm going to give it back to Rudy. So let me get him set back up for us. Just a sec. Wow, Zoodles, you did really good with that last article. Man, looks like you practiced that a time or two. So, all right, well, that's all we've got for this edition of The Wealthland. Again, this is episode 120. Thank you again for tuning in to The Wealthland Podcast with Crossshield Financial. I am really hopeful that we have more of our team members with us next time. It's always so much fun when we have our senior financial coach, Amanda, with us, financial coach, Nick Bowater, executive assistant, Ali, with us, and then other members of our admin team. So anyway, want to take control of your finances? We're here to help. Book a free, quick consultation with myself or one of our team members. The links are going to be in the chat. That's going to be crossshieldfinancial.com. You'll find the links to that in the description. And then hit like, subscribe, and follow to this particular episode in our channel. New episodes drop every Friday at 3 p.m. on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and so much more. We're on all the podcast channels, both audio and the other ones where you actually can see us, which is kind of fun because Zoodles is really handsome. Let's keep the conversation going. So we're going to put a link in the description for all of our social channels. Love to connect with you. Thanks for hanging out today with us. Grab your coffee, crush those financial goals, and as always, happy savings. Thanks, everyone. Have a great day. We'll talk soon. Bye.